Good morning. Welcome to each of you on this fourth Sunday of Advent. If you haven't already, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church. Following our service, we'll be back there shaking some hands. If you would drop by and let us know it's your first time with us, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We are grateful to everyone who made contributions for the beautiful poinsettias that adorn our sanctuary this morning. The bulletin flyer lists the names for whom contributions have been made in honor of or in memory of loved ones and friends. Please read through your information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the warmth tree and the food pantry drive. Also, the 2020 contribution envelopes, for those of you who have requested them, are available in the back of the church. Please pick yours up and mark your name off the list once you pick it up. That will save us a lot of postage at the end of the year. Elders, deacons, and junior deacons, if you fall in one of those categories, please plan to attend one of our training sessions in early January, mentioned in the announcement page. And please join us on Tuesday for the 5 o'clock Christmas Eve service, where our children will be making a presentation, and or the 7 o'clock candlelight traditional service. And our thanks this morning to Mary Davis for serving as our organist, as Lenora is visiting family in Chicago this weekend. For those of you who have been around here for a few years at least, Mary has been at that organ, I'm thinking, once or twice in the past 50 years or so. Good to see you again, Mary. Welcome. All right. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Sing and shout for joy, people of Israel. The Lord your God is with you. And in his love, he will give you new life. Let us sing hymn number 149, all stanzas.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, you have seen the natal star. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending, here among us shall appear. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Thanks to Ava Mios and Amaya Hernandez for being our acolyte team this morning. Maybe about a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we begin our worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we reflect on the joy that has been felt for centuries because of the birth of the Christ child. the shepherds who saw the heavenly host, and the Magi who followed the star. May our joy too be completed in Christ, as it was for his disciples during their Last Supper, and as we know it to be your desire too, for each of us to have the fullness of joy through Christ who strengthens us. May we feel your presence during our worship this morning, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
As we have the opportunity to focus our attention on the Advent wreath again this Sunday, we know that this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, we light the fourth candle, the candle of love. As the glow of the light of Christ's presence becomes even more apparent with the lighting of all four weekly candles this Sunday morning, we are inspired by the great love our God has expressed to us by the presence of his Son, who came into the world as an infant, dependent upon the watchful care of mortal parents. And may we be in the spirit of prayerful meditation as all four weekly candles are lit this morning by Nathan and Pat Carrington. Thank you.
Today, the fourth Sunday of the Advent season is represented by the candle of love. Before this candle is lit, however, we will once again light the candles of waiting, peace, and joy, remembering that our expectation of Christ's presence becomes greater with each passing week of the Advent season.
Now we focus our attention on the fourth candle, the candle of love. As we invest our time and talents into raising our children, caring for grandchildren, and supporting the young people in our community, we experience a glimpse of the amazing love that God must feel for all the people of His creation. For just as we desire to offer the best future we can for the young people in our lives, we recognize that God has lovingly offered the best He has to give humanity: freedom from sin and hope for eternal life through His Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's amazing love for all of us is what we most appreciate this morning as we light the Advent candle of love.
Surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night, our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and more cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaited the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eye. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise.
All right, kiddos, coming up for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask Him to tell me if He were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
He's going to sit down with the rest of us. Wow. Well, this is a great group here. I missed you all last week. Not a one of you were here. I didn't get to do my job, and you didn't get to hear what I had to say. So tough. We'll just have to go with today. Anyway, so in the last few weeks, We've been learning about angels, and we learned that the word angel comes from a Greek word. Can you tell me what it means?
Messenger.
Hey, you got it right. Good job. And angels, one of their jobs, not all their jobs, one of their jobs was to bring messages from?
Heaven.
Heaven to? Yes, to Earth, down to where we are here. And all those messages that we've had and heard so far from our angel Gabriel were messages of things to come, such as Jesus' birth, John the Baptist's birth. But today we're going to learn messages that aren't really, they're announcements, announcing that something has already happened. So who can tell me here where Jesus was born? What city?
Bethlehem.
Wow, very good. Thank you. Bethlehem. And you can imagine that, just imagine that Bethlehem is surrounded with meadows and hills, and on those meadows are shepherds tending their sheep. And can you tell me what tending their sheep might mean? Anybody tell me what tending might mean? What are they doing? They're watching their sheep. They're staying awake all night to make sure that the wolves don't get them, that nothing happens to them. That make sense? Yeah. And can you imagine what it must have been like for those cold, lonely shepherds when all of a sudden there's these bright lights in the sky and there's these angels in bright, shining garments? And they're saying words to them? What do you think that might be like? You can tell me. Come on. What it might be like. Come on, Jadonna. Kind of exciting? A little bit surprising? Yeah, think so. You got your hand up down here. What do you think?
Happy.
Happy. Yeah, probably happy. Maybe after they hear the news, right? So why do you think God sent angels to poor shepherds? You know, these shepherds were the lowest of the low. They're very, very poor. They didn't have a lot of money. In fact, they may not have had any of much. Maybe just their sheep. They weren't kings and rulers of all kinds. So you have any idea maybe why God sent his angels to tell them about Jesus' birth? Well, we don't really know why, but maybe it's because God wanted all of us to know, no matter where we are or what we do or how we live or how much money we have or don't have, that he loves us, each one of us, no matter what, and that he is our shepherd and we are the sheep. So can we all say a little prayer? Great. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious children, and thank you for the opportunity to share your stories with them. Guard, guide, and direct them throughout the week, and I look forward to seeing them next week. We can end this story. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. As we go to God in prayer this week, we especially want to lift up Glenn Bartley, as he is going to be having surgery on his neck the 26th and 27th of this week. So, Psalm, we certainly are keeping you all in prayer. Also then on the 30th, Anna Egert will be undergoing surgery that day as well. And our sympathy is extended to the family of Emily Boswell, who passed into the Lord's presence this last Monday. We had visitation here at Barrie on Friday, and her services were held in Mound City yesterday. We lift up Dave Haynes in the midst of the respiratory concerns that he continues to have. Ardith, keep your whole family in prayer. Gail Roller is making very good progress after recent surgery and was here at the 8:30 service. We continue to lift up Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston, with a number of health concerns she's dealing with. We remember Jill Gregory in our prayers and Grace Kimmerling, And Michelle, we keep you in prayer in the midst of your treatments every day. And of course, Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, continues to be in our prayers, as well as a number of other folks we've been remembering week to week. So with all of these folks in mind, may we bow our heads for a word of prayer before our Lord. God of grace and God of glory, into your house we've humbly assembled this Christmas Sunday as we anticipate this week the privilege of rejoicing in the day set aside to celebrate the arrival of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is with eager anticipation that we await this day, not only to pause from our daily activities to enjoy the fellowship of loved ones and friends, but also as we symbolically gaze upon the Christ child in the manger, we are awed at the amazing truth of your presence among us. For as the prophet foretold centuries before our time, for unto you a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as we gaze upon the Christ child, we consider the great measures of hopefulness that are fulfilled in your presence with us. The lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, and the broken shall be mended. As we strive to carry forth the Christmas spirit long after this coming Wednesday, the 25th of December, may our deeds and actions carry forth the renewal of the gospel message by what we say and do. For as Jesus reminded his disciples, he also reminds us that those who believe in him will do what he does, and even greater things. And despite the tragedies, injustices, and trauma that exist in the world's circumstances, may we rise above it all and share the peace your Son offers, one and all. Guide us this week, O God, as we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, and as we remember that our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Nathan, we thank you for reading again our scripture reading.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So let us open our hearts and prepare to hear God's message for us this morning. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from a town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the year ahead, help us find a way to take your message of love and salvation to all those in need around the globe. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
This morning's special music is an original piece that I have written with my high school friend back in high school. It is taking from the perspective of the innkeeper when Mary and Joseph went to the inn and there was no room for them. So it's from his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Tired and worn were they when they came into my sight. Mary looked into my face. She knew this was the night. My inn was full and I turned the two away. But something in her eyes told me they just had to stay. Mary's eyes said it all. They were full of heaven's love. For that night God sent his son from up above. More than just a babe crying in the night, he was king. I saw the look in Mary's eyes. His cry was not in vain. Its sweetness filled my ears. I fled my crowded inn, my own eyes full of tears. To the manger I ran and gazed upon his face. Its radiance alone reflected God's perfect grace. Mary's eyes said it all. They were full of heaven's love. For that night God sent his son from up above. More than just a babe crying in the night, he was king. I saw the look in Mary's eyes. Wonder and glory from where the baby lay. I couldn't find the words my heart longed to say. Mary's eyes said it all. They were full of heaven's love. For that night God sent his son from up above. More than just a babe crying in the night, he was king. He is king. I saw the look in Mary's eyes.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sometimes God's Spirit can inspire us most when our best laid plans are abandoned by unforeseen circumstances. Pastor Joseph Moore and his church's organist Franz Gruber were desperate when the organ broke down just before the Christmas Eve service of 1818. In a moment of divine guidance, Pastor Moore wrote a poem. He then asked Gruber to put the poem to music. That night, the new carol was sung with the aid of a guitar. The organ repairman present for the service was also uplifted by the song as he passed it on to others, and therefore Silent Night, Holy Night became one of the most popular Christmas carols of all time. Our communion hymn is that hymn this morning as we sing hymn number 145, All Stanzas Please.
Silent night, holy night, all bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend the light. With the angels let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this table at this wonderful time of year, and as we think of gifts and giving and what they mean, we come to think of the greatest gift ever and what it meant to us all throughout all the years and the years to come. We thank you for that gift of Jesus Christ. And as we take of these emblems and drink of this wine, that we think of the body that he suffered and the blood that he shed for us, so that we have the most wonderful gift of all, and that's eternal life with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Notice in your bulletin that there is a flyer as well as an offering envelope for today's Christmas offering. It goes to the region of which we are a part, the Greater Kansas City region, not only supports the regional office and our staff there, but many of the ministries we have across the region as far as helping out with our kids going to camp, men's ministries, women's ministries, etc. So as Anna leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings, we hope you will consider giving to the Christmas offering either this Sunday or next. Anna?
Let us pray. Lord, today is a blessing. Our blessings are many. Sometimes we overlook the little things and take them for granted. A blanket to wrap around us when we feel a draft. We forget that there's others without a blanket to keep them warm through the cold night. We gather these gifts to help others so that they may know your true meaning of love. Lord, bless these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the day, this Christmas Sunday, which we celebrate the coming of your Son and our Savior into the world. As we contemplate the significance of your presence with us, may we ask ourselves, indeed, do we make room for the Christ child? It's in his name we pray. Amen. The Bible question for the day is, can you name the scripture text, you know, book of the Bible, chapter and verse, that has the story of the birth of Jesus from the shepherd's perspective? And now you know it's in the New Testament, right? What book? Luke. What chapter? Two. Verses? 8 through 14 are actually the verses that describe the story of the shepherds. You know, every time I think of that particular text, it is the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon that comes to mind for me, because it made such a huge impression upon me when I was a child. There is that part of the story where all of a sudden the children are laughing at Charlie Brown because he comes up with this scrawny little Christmas tree, right? You know how the cartoon goes. And then he exclaims out across the stage, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And that's when Linus, blanket and all, comes on the scene. And of course he says, "Well, I do." And lights please, and of course the spotlight focuses on Linus, and he gives us the actual words of that text from Luke's Gospel from the King James Version. You know, and I still remember. I remember where I was seated when I first watched that in our living room, and we were grateful to have a color TV. Remember back then? And it made such an impression on me. If there ever is a text that we ought to know, you know, we Christian people say, "Well, yeah, I know John 3:16." You ought to know Luke chapter 2. You ought to be able to say it by memory, because it is the story of the coming of God's presence among us. And the portion of that text that I want to share with you this morning here is the text that was read to you earlier by Nathan. It's that second chapter, looking at the very beginning portion. "And it came to pass that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn." When we read that story or hear that story, we believe that we really know a whole lot about how Jesus was born. But do we really know the real context of what was happening? We know there was a census. It took place every 14 years throughout the Roman Empire. It served two purposes: to make sure that every family was taxed, so they'd be paying their fair share to the Roman government, and secondly, to determine where the young men were, so that when they reached a certain age, they could be conscripted into the Roman army. Now, the Jewish people were exempt from military service, but they were certainly not exempt from paying their share of taxes. Although they hated that part too, because they believed that there really was only one real authority, and who was that? The God of the Hebrew people, right? So we should only be paying homage to the God of the Hebrew people, not the Roman government. But being that they'd been taken over in battle, they had no choice. But what is actually unique about this particular taxing cycle is that many biblical scholars believe that maybe this was actually the first time that this particular census was done for all of Palestine. Isn't it interesting to notice God's timing here? God chose to have his son born in the city of David in Bethlehem in order to fulfill the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come unto me that one who is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Again, the prophecy of Micah is fulfilled in the fact that Mary and Joseph had to go all the way from Nazareth into Bethlehem, the city of David, for that was the time and place for Jesus to be born. Now, don't you know that this was quite an upheaval, this whole taxing thing? People have to pick up from their jobs, travel to various locations back and forth, and to be at their places of their origin, family origin, in order to be taxed. That was a big project.
And yet, even as we think of that, we think we know how the rest of the story goes, don't we? Because we've seen the nativity scenes. And if you ask most children, well, where was Jesus born? Oh, Bethlehem? No, but where in? Where in was he born? Oh, he was born in what? Stable. See, even you adults, you're like the kids. You want to say he was born in a stable. Why? Because, well, you see the nativity set and there's this wooden thing, wooden structure. Looks like he was born in what? A barn. We know about barns. No. What you don't understand is that in the hills, limestone, craggy hills of Bethlehem, there isn't a whole lot of wood. Last thing you're going to do with what little bit of wood there is use such a precious commodity to build a wooden structure to house animals. No barns. In fact, the best thing they could do for the sheep, who were actually sheep that were used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. That's how special these Bethlehem sheep were. Isn't it remarkable that Jesus, we believe, may well have been amongst some of those sheep? The shepherd, or the sacrificial sheep of all sacrificial sheep, is among the sheep used in the sacrifice in the temple. But out in the fields, they had caves, some caves. It's quite likely those caves were used as places where the sheep would be gathered at night in order to protect them from predators. It could be that Jesus was actually not born in a barn, not in a stable, maybe one of those caves. And so even now we're beginning to see images of nativity sets where we have a kind of a little cave type arrangement rather than a wooden structure. And of course, you know, we're always really down on the innkeeper, aren't we? Why? Because every time we see a Christmas play, we see the innkeeper turning away Mary and Joseph at their greatest hour of need. But the truth of the matter is, in Bethlehem, how many Holiday Inns do you think there were? This is a town of about 200 to 300 folks in biblical times. There may not have been any inns at all. And in fact, if there really were any inns available in Bethlehem, the chances are Mary and Joseph wouldn't have stayed there anyway. Why? Because they didn't have the money. You remember, a week later, Mary and Joseph go to the temple. Jesus is named. And of course, Mary offers up the purification offering. If you were a family of any means, that offering would have been a lamb and a dove. If you read the biblical text, you understand that Mary brings two pigeons, cheap birds. It was considered to be the offering of the poor. If they had to offer up the offering of the poor at the temple a week after Jesus' birth, you can bet they sure didn't have any extra money laying around to be paying for any inn, even if there was an inn available. So where was it that Jesus was likely born? In Bethlehem. Well, folks, we again remember Joseph was from the household of who? King David. Don't you know there still were relatives there in Bethlehem? Now, being good Jewish folks, got to take care of their own. So if your distant relatives who had to go off to other parts of Palestine in order to find work had to come back because there was a government decree that said they had to be back home in order to be counted, who do you think Mary and Joseph would have stayed with? Likely distant relatives. Remember, even Mary goes to visit who? The cousin Elizabeth. Who does she stay with? Elizabeth. Another thing you may not be aware of is that in this particular time period, even
more urban type housing had two levels, a lower level and an upper level. The lower level is where the family's animals were kept at night. The upper level is where the people slept at night. They used the lower level during the day when the animals were out, but at night the animals were brought in. It is quite likely that Mary and Joseph may well have stayed in one of those double-level homes of distant relatives in Bethlehem. And when the text tells you that when Jesus was born, he was laid in a manger, which of course is like a food trough for animals, where would that have been? At the lower level of the home. There would have been a food trough for the animals for the night. And ladies, you're needing room if you're going to give birth to a child. Do you want to be in the upper level where everybody else is? No, you want to be at the lower level where you have some room. And so even the picture begins to fit if we really take into account the entire biblical historical context. But what do we do about Luke and the fact that he said, well, there was no room in the inn? Well, maybe Luke just really kind of threw that in there. He knew there was never going to be any room in the inn for a poor family anyway. But it sure got you to thinking all through these centuries about one thing. What? Is there any room for the Christ child? Is there any room for God's presence among us? And that's the question we all ought to be asking as Christmas Day arrives. Because a whole lot of times it's friends, relatives, food, and football. Not a lot of room for Jesus, even though we're celebrating his presence among us. So maybe this Christmas Eve, when you're gathered with all your family, maybe this Christmas Day, when you're gathered with the same folks, maybe it's time to pull out the Bible. Look up Luke chapter 2. Read among yourselves the story of God's presence among us through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord? If he's not, maybe today is that day you need to come forward in such a way that I know you can be saved as you make that confession of faith. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 144. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of O Little Town of Bethlehem, 144. May we stand.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our God Emmanuel.
We want to remind
remind you again on Tuesday, Christmas Eve services, 5 o'clock, our children will be presenting a program for us, and then candlelight service at 7 o'clock. Hope you'll be able to join us for one of the services, and we wish you the very best this Christmas day. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us, and for this we give thanks as we journey forward with the unfolding of Christmas week. It's in the name of Christ that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Come along, expected Jesus, born to set your people free from our fears and sins. Release us, Christ, in whom our rest shall be. You are strength and consolation. Come, salvation to impart, dear desire of many a nation, joy of many a longing heart. Born your people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, born your gracious realm to bring. By your own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By your all-sufficient merit, raise to you your glorious throne.